إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بسم الله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His worshipper and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is going to be our fifth session, reading from various commentaries of Al-Aqidah Al-Tahawiyyah by Al-Imam Abu Ja'far Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Salama Al-Tahawi rahimahullah. Before we begin with the points that we're going to cover tonight, in the previous sessions we covered the first 5 points. Tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to cover the next 5 points. And tonight, for the most part, we're going to be reading from the ta'liqat mukhtasara, yani the summarized, abbreviated commentary of Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, with just one brief commentary from Al-Imam Muhammad Nasruddin Al-Albani. Those of you who have been with us, you know that we have been reading from various commentaries, including the commentaries of Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, and Al-Imam Muhammad Nasruddin Al-Albani, rahimahullah. And mostly we're going to be reading, yani just so that we cover all the points that they didn't make commentary on, mostly we're going to be reading from the brief or summarized commentary of Sheikh Salih Fawzan, hafidhahullah. So before we begin with the points for tonight, beginning with point number 6, and the numbering of these points has become problematic for me. In the Arabic commentaries that we're reading from, there's one numbering that I was familiar with previously. Sheikh Salih Fawzan, hafidhahullah, has a different numbering. And he numbers every sentence or every phrase that he explains separately. So his numbering is different. At least after the first few points, when we get to maybe 10, it's going to start differing. And the English translation of Sheikh Salih Fawzan's commentary has a different numbering than the Arabic. So if somebody's reading from the English, there's one number. You're reading from Arabic, a different number. From the commentary, is a different number. So can you just bear with me with this numbering? We're going to do the best that we can. As much as possible, I'll try to refer to the numbering in different books, because some people are reading from Arabic, some people are reading from English. And the original numbering is the number that I'm going to be referring to first. The original numbering that's in the Arabic commentaries. Okay, so that being said, let's look at some of the points that we covered last week quickly. The questionnaire study guide for lecture number 4. The first question, memorize the third statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi as it relates to the sifat of Allah. So this third statement in the Arabic commentary of Sheikh Salih Fawzan is numbered as the fourth statement. If somebody's looking at Sheikh Salih Fawzan's Arabic, it's the fourth statement. But in the original number, it's that number 3. The third statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi as it relates to the sifat of Allah. Naam, Ahmed. That's for this week. This is from last week, yes. From last week. That's the fifth statement. From last week. That's the fifth statement from last week. Now, who's in the back? I don't know who, I can't tell. Name, huh? Idris, yes, Fadl. There's nothing that can frustrate him. There's nothing that is impossible for him. There's nothing that renders him incapable. And he is capable of doing everything. وَلَا شَيْءَ يُعْجِزُهُ وَلَا شَيْءَ يُعْجِزُهُ. That's actually the third statement in the original commentaries. That's the third statement. Question number 2. Mention briefly what the statement or what this statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi affirms. What does it affirm? And a proof for what it confirms from Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 120th Ayat. What does this statement, yani that there is nothing impossible for him, that's a negation. Nothing is impossible. What does it affirm? Naam. Zaki. Okay, this is to affirm the complete or perfect, yani, qudra, power and ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that it encompasses everything. There's nothing outside of His ability. And the ayah from the Quran that the Shaykh mentioned concerning this is the saying of Allah, Naam. Ahmed? Naam. The end of the ayah, وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ, yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the ability to do everything. Yani his ability, his qudra is yani shamil, kamil. Tayyib. Question number 3. What is the mistaken statement, misunderstood from the 42nd surah, 29th ayat, as it relates to Allah's absolute power and ability? Yani what is the mistaken statement that people misunderstood from the saying of Allah, وَهُوَ عَلَى جَمْعِهِمْ إِذَا يَشَاءُ قَدِيرٌ. Now, what is the mistaken statement of some people? Naam, Fadl, Abdul Wali.
The statement is he is able to do as he wills. And this is a mistake because Allah never limited his ability to his will, but he is able to do all things.
Naam. And the mistake is that some people imagine that this ayat means that Allah is able to do what He wills. He's only able to do what He wills. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't limited His ability to what He wills. But His ability is absolute. He has power, He has the ability to do everything. It's not limited to His will. Rather, this ayat, what it means is that this event in the future of Allah gathering the people of the heavens and the earth on Yawm al-Qiyamah, this event in the future when that time comes, if Allah wills, He will gather them. Because He has the ability to do everything. The fourth question, memorize the fourth statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi as it relates to Tawheed. The fourth statement from last week. Now, وَلَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُهُ. وَلَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُهُ. Meaning?
There is no Lord worthy of worship of Him.
Okay, that's okay. Now, Ilyas? Okay, لا معبود بحق. Naam. The meaning of that is what? What does it mean? لا معبود بحق إلا الله. What does that mean?
There's no Lord worshiping
truth. There's nothing that is rightfully or has a right to be worshipped that deserves to be worshipped except Allah. There are many things that are worshipped, but Allah is the only one that has a right to be worshipped. And that deserves to be worshipped, is worthy of worship. Naam. وَلَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُهُ. And there's nothing that deserves to be worshipped except Him. Question number 5. Briefly explain the intended meaning of this statement. يعني لا إله غيره. What is the intended meaning of this statement? And which division of Tawheed is affirmed by it? What is the intended meaning of لَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُهُ? Naam, Naeem.
If we say nothing is worshipped, then it would be incorrect. Because evidently, there are many things that are worshipped besides Allah, the Almighty. Tawheed
al-uluhiyya is
the second part of that.
Okay, is what is intended here.
Right.
Tawheed al-uluhiyya.
And there is nothing rightly worshipped besides Him.
Tayyib. And there is nothing rightly worshipped besides Him. So, in Arabic, the intended meaning of La ilaha ghayru is what? La ma'abud bihaqqin illallah. And what is the meaning of La ma'abud bihaqqin? Again, we just went over that. Now,
there's no Lord worthy of worship.
There's nothing. Lord or other, whatever you call it, there's nothing in existence that...
There's nothing worthy of worship in truth?
There's nothing worthy of worship in truth. Except Allah. And in other words, the point is what? There are many things that are worshipped Allah mentions in the Quran the Aliha of the Mushrikeen, that they had many things that they worship, trees, stones, animals, whatever. But none of those things are worthy, and it deserve or have a right to be worshipped. None of them have a right to be worshipped. This is a very important matter. Question number 6. And here, yani, the point is, the second part of this question, which division of Tawheed is affirmed here, Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. The point here is that we want to understand what are the various aspects of Tawheed. Ar-Rububiyyah, Uluhiyyah, Asma wa Sifat, and to understand the significance of each of them. And what is intended here is Al-Uluhiyyah, Al-Ubudiyyah, the Tawheed related to Ibadah. Question number 6. What is the, question number 7. Remember, I skipped what? 5 was what we just did. The intended meaning of La ilaha illallah. And the division of Tawheed that's affirmed by it. Question number 6. What is the mistaken statement misunderstood by many Muslims in English translations of La ilaha illallah? What is the mistaken statement, yani, or the mistaken translation of people who have translated the meaning of La ilaha illallah? Naam, Ali. There's no God but Allah. And we know that there are many gods. A god is something that's worshipped. And there are many gods affirmed in the Quran, in many places in the Quran. Yani, the affirmation of the existence of things that are worshipped besides Allah. But they don't deserve to be worshipped. So this is a mistake that we should pay attention to. And as the Sheikh said, if somebody says that, just because they heard other people saying it, they don't really believe that there is nothing else that's worship. If a person doesn't believe that, then they need to correct that. And we shouldn't be saying, there's no God but Allah. This is a mistake. Sheikh Salih Fazan went on to say that whoever says that, the meaning of that is that they are saying that everything that is worshipped is Allah. And that's a terrible thing to say. Question number 8. Which name of Allah can replace this description of Allah, Qadeem? That was the 5th point, the last point that we mentioned last week. Which name of Allah can replace this description of Allah as being Qadeem? And where is it mentioned in the Quran or Hadith? Which name can replace this? Naam, Zakariya. Al-Awwal. Al-Awwal is a name of Allah that should be used in place of Qadeem. Where is this mentioned in the Quran or in the Hadith? Ilyas. Uh-huh. Naam. That the Prophet ﷺ used to say, Anta al-awwalu. Yani, you are the first and there's nothing before you. In the Quran it came where? Naam. Naam. Al-awwalu wal-akhiru wa-zahiru wa-batin. Naam. Question number 9. Explain briefly the difference between the expression Qadeem and the name of Allah which should be used in place of it. Zaki. Okay, Qadeem is not the same as Al-Awwal. That's what we're saying. They're not the same. So what is the difference between them? What is the difference between them? Qadeem, yani, it could be translated different ways, but the yani, no. Okay. Okay. It doesn't mean it's the first. It means it was before something else. It doesn't mean that there was nothing before it. And that's the problem with that word being used for Allah. Because the intended, yani, the objective is to express the meaning that Allah, there was nothing before Him. As the Prophet ﷺ said, أنت الأول وليس قبلك شيء. Yani, you are the first and there's nothing before you. Qadeem doesn't have that meaning. It just means that if something came along and it was there before that, then that's Qadeem. Yani, that new one now that came next is Jadeed. But it doesn't mean that there's nothing before it. It doesn't mean that there wasn't a time when it didn't exist. And so this is the main difference. The last question, how does Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz rahimahullah explain what is intended by the statement, the names of Allah are tawqifiyya? What does he mean? How did he explain the meaning? The names of Allah are tawqifiyya. On this side somewhere. Yusuf. And what was the last thing you said? Okay, that's correct. But we want to just add a little bit to what he said, because he left out a very important point. And the meaning is correct, no doubt about it. But then he said, you're not supposed to affirm anything except from the authentic Sunnah. What about the Quran? Okay, I mean, it's understood, but we want to be crystal clear. That the meaning of the names of Allah are tawqifiyya. It means that these names, no name can be affirmed for Allah unless it came in the Quran or in the authentic Sunnah. And secondly, that we should not affirm a name for Allah based upon intellect, based upon somebody's opinion or their view. Taib, these are some of the matters that we covered last week, and tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to look at the next 5 points. The Sheikh's commentary on each of them is relatively brief. And there's just one extra commentary from Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Albani, rahimahullah. And if we have time, inshallah, maybe at the end, there's a very important point in tonight's point that we want to come back to, related to the will of Allah. And if we have time, inshallah, we're going to come back to the discussion of this matter from Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. So the first point for tonight is related to the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Imam Al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, he says, and this is the sixth point. In the English translation of Sheikh Salih Fawzan's translation, it's six. But in the original Arabic, it's seven. So if somebody's reading from Arabic, Sheikh Salih Fawzan has numbered it as number seven. In the English translation, they changed the number to six. Allahu A'lam. Sixth point. لا يفنى ولا يبيد. لا يفنى ولا يبيد. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does not perish, nor does He pass away. And He will never cease to exist. He will not die. لا يفنى ولا يبيد. Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, he says, الفنى والبيد بِمَعْنَ وَاحِدًا. And that these two words, لَا يَفْنَى وَلَا يَبِيدُ, the meaning is one. And the meaning is the same. The meaning is that Allah will never cease to exist. He will not pass away. He will not perish. He will not die. لَا يَفْنَى وَلَا يَبِيدُ. الْفَنَى وَالْبَيْدُ بِمَعْنَ وَاحِدٍ. فَاللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى مَوْصُوفُ بِالْحَيَاةِ الْبَاقِيَةِ الدَّاعِمَةِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is described, and this is a statement of negation. La yafna wa la yabid. He will not perish. He will not cease to exist. The Shaykh is saying, what does that affirm? It affirms that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His life is baqiya da'ima. Yani that His life is a life that will remain and always be. It will remain and it will always be. Qala ta'ala, Allah says in the Quran, wa tawakkal ala al-hayy al-ladhi la yamut. So put your trust and depend upon the living. The living, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who will never die. The living who will never die. This is mentioned in Surah Al-Furqan, 25th Surah, 58th Ayah. فَاللَّهُ لَا يَأْتِي عَلَيْهِ الْفَنَى. So, it will not happen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani we will perish, will cease to exist. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states that clearly, that His life is a life that will not be affected by death. Al-hay al-ladhi la yamut. The one who is living and who will never die. Also, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Qasas, I think it's the 28th surah, 88th ayat. Kullu shayin halikun illa wajhahu. Everything in existence will be destroyed except the face of Allah. Everything in existence will be destroyed except the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next ayat he mentions is from Surah Al-Rahman, 55th surah, 26th and 27th ayat. كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Everything that is upon the earth will perish And what will remain is the face of your Rabb. And here this description, Dhul Jalali wal Ikram, yani the word Dhu is marfu'un. And the sign of it being marfu'un is what? Arabic students. The sign of it being marfu'un is what? There gotta be some Arabic students here. Huh? وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ ذُو ذَلْ ضَمَّ وَاوْ. What is the sign of it being marfu'un? The wow. It's a secondary sign. Because it's from what? Al-Asma' al-Khamsa. So here, the point is, ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ, this word being marfu'un is an indication that it's a description of the wedge and not a description of the Rabb. Because Rabb is Majroor with Kasra. And Dhu is Marfu'un with Dhamma. So it's the description of the face of Allah which possesses yani majesty and honor. The point of the ayat is that everything will perish except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh says, فَلَهُ الْبَقَى سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَالْخَلْقُ يَمُوتُونَ ثُمَّ يُبْعَثُونَ وَكَانُوا فِي الْأَوَّلَ عَدَمًا ثُمَّ خَلَقَهُمُ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ يَمُوتُونَ ثُمَّ يَبْعَثُهُمُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remain forever. And as far as everything else in the creation, they will all die. And then they will be resurrected. In the beginning, they did not exist. And then Allah created them. And then they will die. And then Allah will resurrect them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laysa lahu bidaya wa laysa lahu nihaya. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He doesn't have any beginning and He doesn't have any ending. And this is the distinction between Al-Khaliq wal-Makhluq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have any bidayah, and He doesn't have any nihayah, and everything in the creation didn't exist. And then Allah created them, and then they will die, and then He will resurrect them. The next point, which in the Arabic text of Sheikh Salih Fawzan's commentary is point number 8. It's actually the 7th statement, and in the English translation is marked as number 7 as well. يعني ولا يكون إلا ما يريد ولا يكون إلا ما يريد. And nothing will come into existence except what Allah wills. يعني nothing will happen, nothing will occur, nothing will exist except what Allah wills. إلا ما يريد. The Shaykh alludes here to an important point that if we have time in the end we're going to come back to. And that is, the will of Allah is divided into two divisions, Al-Irada Al-Kawniya, the universal will, which is also known as Al-Irada Al-Qadariya, because it's what Allah decreed and it must occur. And then there's Al-Irada Al-Shara'iyya, also known as Al-Irada Al-Diniya, and that is what Allah has legislated, yani what He loves and what He is pleased with, and it may or may not occur. And so there are two main differences between the two types of Irada, and if we have time, we're going to come back to them. The main thing is, al-irada qawniya is what Allah decreed, it must happen. It may or may not be what Allah loves. It may or may not be what Allah loves. Al-irada shara'iyya is only what Allah loves and is pleased with. But it may or may not happen. So on these two points, they are opposite. Shara'iyya is what Allah loves only. Qawniya, it may be what Allah loves or what He doesn't love. Shara'iyya may or may not occur. Allah loves that people worship Him, they may not worship Him. Qawniyya, it has to occur. When Allah decrees something, ما شاء الله كان وما لم يشاء لم يكن. Whatever Allah yani willed in His yani divine decree, whatever He willed, it must happen. And whatever He doesn't will will never happen. So the Shaykh, he alludes to this point of the types of irada, the will of Allah. But he doesn't go into any detail. If we have time in the end, we'll come back to it, inshallah. Here he says, وَلَا يَكُونُ إِلَّا مَا يُرِيدُ. Nothing will occur, nothing will exist except what Allah wills. هذه في إثبات القدر وإثبات الإرادة. In this statement, there's the affirmation of the divine decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's also the affirmation of Allah's irada, His will. And he means here, al-irada al-kawniya, the universal will. That which must happen, whether Allah loves it or not. Yani He decrees something to happen even if He doesn't love it, even if He's not pleased with it, for a purpose, for an objective, for a hikmah. فَلَا يَكُونُ فِي مُلْكِهِ وَلَا يَحْصُلْ فِي قَلْقِهِ من الحوادث والكائنات إلا ما أراده سبحانه وتعالى بالإرادة الكونية. And so nothing will exist in the kingdom, in the sovereignty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the universe. Nothing will occur. Events or things that exist, nothing will occur and nothing will exist except what Allah willed subhanahu wa ta'ala in His irada kawniya. Except what He willed in His irada kawniya. Not in His irada shari'ah, because disobedience and kufr and shirk and everything exists in this world. Allah is not pleased with that. But that's part of what? These things existing are part of what Allah's universal will. Not from His irada shara'iyya, what He loves and what He's pleased with. So He said, none of these things will exist. Nothing will occur except that it is subject to al-irada al-qawniyya, Allah's universal will. And He mentions from the Quran, from Surah Yasin, 36 Surah, 82nd Ayat, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَيَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونُ. That indeed, verily, certainly, His affair is that whenever He wills something, and His universal will, whenever He wills something, He just says to it, be, and it is. He just says to it, be, and it is. فَكُلُّ خَيْرٌ وَكُلُّ شَرٌ فَهُوَ بِإِرَادَةِ اللَّهِ الْقَوْنِيَةِ. So everything that happens, whether it's خير or شر, good or evil, it is due to the universal will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It means that it's due to the fact that Allah decreed it. And when He decrees something, it has to happen. It doesn't mean that He loves everything that He decreed or that He's pleased with it. He said, فَلَا يَخْرُجْ عَنْ إِرَادَتِهِ شَيْءٍ. So nothing is outside of His will, His universal will. وَهَذَا فِيهِ رَدٌ عَلَى الْقَدَرِيَةِ. And this is a refutation of the deviant group of people known as the Qadariyah, the people who negated the Qadr. He said, this is a refutation against them. Because what they claimed, that the abd, the human being, هو الذي يخلق فعله نفسه, فعل نفسه, ويوجد فعل نفسه. Because they claimed that the human being creates his own action and brings his own action into existence. And we know that there's only one creator. Everything that exists is by the creation of Allah. By the irada of Allah, His irada kawniya, and His creation, He brings it into existence. The human being is not a creator of his own actions. He's a doer of his actions. He's not a creator. The Shaykh says, تَعَالَ اللَّهُ عَمَّا يَقُولُونَ. Allah is high above and far removed from what these people are claiming, from what they are saying. وَهَذَا تَعْجِيزٌ لِلَّهِ وَأَنَّهُ يَكُونُ فِي خَلْقِهِ مَا لَا يُرِيدُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. So this is, to declare or to attribute to Allah, ta'ajiz, to attribute to Allah inability, that He's unable, He's incapable. That there's something that will occur in His creation that He doesn't will, outside of His will. وَهَذَا وَصْفٌ لَهُ بِالنَّقْصِ. And this is to describe Allah with having a deficiency or a defect. Indeed, everything that occurs in this universe, whether it's good or evil, it is by the irada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He creates the khair li hikmah, for a purpose, a wisdom. He created the khair that exists in this universe for a purpose, for an objective, for a goal, to achieve something. وَيَخْلُقُ الشَّرْ لِحِكْمَةٍ. And likewise, He creates evil, but for a wisdom, based upon His perfect wisdom, some goal or objective that He intends by it. So evil, من جهة خلقه له, ليس بشر. Here, a very important point the Shaykh is saying, from the side, from the perspective of evil that occurs in this world, from if we look at it from the angle that Allah is the creator of that evil, it's not considered to be evil. Because we don't attribute evil to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, and that is because, لأنه لحكمة عظيمة ولغاية عظيمة وهي الابتلاء والامتحان والتمييز الخبيث من الطيب والجزاء على الأعمال الصالحة وعلى الأعمال السيئة. He said, so this, the reason why we don't consider it to be evil is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this evil for a great purpose, for a great gaya, an objective, a goal, and that is to test the human beings, as a test for the human beings, and to distinguish between the evil and the good, and to reward the good deeds and to reward the evil deeds. He said, from the hikmah azima, from the ghaya azima of Allah creating evil, is to test the human beings, ibtila wal imtihan, and to distinguish between the khabith and the tayyib, the good and the evil, and to reward al-jaza' ala al-a'mal as-saliha wal jaza' ala al-a'mal as-sayyi'ah, and to reward righteous deeds and to reward yani with punishment evil deeds. He said lahu al-hikmatu fi dhalika subhanahu wa ta'ala lam yakhluq dhalika abathan. Ni Allah has a wisdom, has a purpose, has an objective in everything that He created. There's a purpose, there's an objective, there's a goal that He intends to achieve by it. He didn't create anything without a purpose. He didn't create anything without a purpose. The next point, which is the eighth statement in our original book, it's the eighth statement. Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, in his Arabic edition, it's numbered as 9. And in the English, it's numbered as 8. Al-Imam al-Tahawi says, لا تبلغه الأوهام ولا تدركه الأفهام. Two things. That no imagination of the human beings can conceive of Him perfectly. And no understanding of the intellect of the human beings can comprehend Him totally. Yani, the imagination of the human being, whatever extent it goes to, it cannot, encompass, it cannot conceive of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His reality totally. Nor can the understandings, the intellects of the human beings as well, cannot comprehend Him. The Shaykh, he says, concerning this point, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la yuhatu bihi. That Allah cannot be completely comprehended or conceived or encompassed completely by the human beings. Because Allah is a'azamu min kulli shayin, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is greater than everything. And then he mentions from Surah Al-Taha, 20th Surah, 110th Ayat, ya'lamu, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ya'lamu ma bayna aydihim wa ma khalfahum, wa la yuhituna bihi ilma. That Allah knows what is before them and what is behind them. And the scholars of tafsir have explained it different ways, but yani what is before them is what is ahead. Yani yawm al-qiyam, in the next life. And what is behind them is what is in this world. That's generally how it's explained. وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِهِ عِلْمًا. Some of the scholars said, and the human beings don't have knowledge of this, that Allah has of what is before them and what is behind them. What is intended here by the Shaykh mentioning this is the tafsir of some of the scholars, and which is more apparent, Allahu alam, and there are two tafsirs of this ayah, is لَا يُحِيطُونَ بِهِ عِلْمًا, that the human beings cannot encompass Allah with their knowledge. That's what he intends by the mention of this ayat, and that's how some of the scholars of tafsir have explained this ayat. Yani meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is great, is greater than the ability of the human being to encompass Him with their knowledge. Not their imaginations, their understanding, or their knowledge can encompass Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يُعْلَمُ وَلَكِنْ لَا يُحَاطُ بِهِ. Allah can be known, but He cannot be completely comprehended, conceived of, in the minds or the intellects of the human beings. Allah can be known, we can know about Allah, but we don't know everything about Allah. We don't understand the reality. And we know Allah's names and His sifat, but we don't know the haqiqah of them. We don't know the reality of it. He said, so Allah, He can be known, but He cannot be encompassed completely. For Allah is greater than everything. فَلَا يَتَخَيَّلُهُ الْفِقْرَ. So the thinking of the human beings, thinking and contemplating and reflecting, a person cannot actually conceive of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by their intellectual abilities. وَلَا يَجُوزُ لِلْإِنسَانِ. ولا يجوز لإنسان أن يقول في الله إلا ما قاله سبحانه وتعالى عن نفسه أو قاله عنه رسوله عليه الصلاة والسلام. Therefore, since the human being is not capable by his imagination or his intellect, is not capable to conceive or to comprehend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in totality, he said, therefore it is not permissible for a human being to say anything about Allah except what Allah said about himself and what his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about him. And this goes back to the point that we mentioned previously, that the asma of Allah and the sifat of Allah tawqifiyah, that we cannot affirm any name or any description or quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except that it's what Allah said in the Quran and what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the authentic narrations. So it's not permissible for a human being to say anything about Allah except what he said about himself or what his messenger said about him. And therefore, some of the things that people say, one of the strangest things that people accepted in en masse in America was a Muslim imam, great famous, yani well-known Muslim imam, saying that Allah is the divine mind. Logically, it might sound good. And because the mind is great, right? And Allah is the divine mind. But Allah didn't say that about himself. And it's not permissible. لا يجوز. And it's haram for a person to say about Allah what he didn't say about himself. It's haram. لا يجوز. Except what he said about himself or what the Prophet ﷺ said about him. The next statement. And on this statement, I'm just going to read briefly from Al-Imam Muhammad Nasruddin Al-Albani along with the Sheikh's commentary, Sheikh Salih Fawzan. He says, وَلَا يُشْبِهُ الْأَنَامَةِ, yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He doesn't resemble anything in the creation. He doesn't resemble anything in the creation. And some of the translations say the human beings, and even though that might be a correct translation, what is intended here is not just human beings, but rather what is intended here is anything in the creation. And the reason, perhaps, as some of the commentators said, the reason why he said, لَا يُشْبِهُ الْأَنَامَةِ, is to rhyme with al-afham. And then he stopped there. When really he means, there's nothing from the human beings, animals, or anything in the creation. Allah doesn't resemble anything in the creation. Sheikh Salih Fawzan, Hafidhullah, he says on this point, which again is the ninth statement, and in his English translation it's also stated as the ninth statement, but in the Arabic it's tenth, he says, هذه مثل العبارة التي مضت. يعني this is like the expression that passed by before when he said ولا شيء مثله. ولا شيء مثله. He said this is like that statement. والأنام معناه الخلق. And what is the actual meaning of الأنام, or what is intended here, is the خلق, the creation. That Allah doesn't resemble anything in the creation. فالله سبحانه وتعالى مميز منزه. مُنَزَّهٌ عَنْ مُشَابَهَةِ الْخَلْقِ. So Allah is to be declared free from any resemblance to anything in the creation. And as Allah said in the Quran, in Surah Shura, 42nd Surah, 11th Ayat, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. That is nothing like Him. That's negation of any resemblance or being like Him. And then there's وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, is affirmation. That even though there's nothing like Him, Allah affirms for Himself that He is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. And likewise, Allah said about Himself that there's nothing equal to Him or comparable to Him. In Surah Al-Ikhlas, 112th Surah, 4th Ayah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is مُنَزَّهٌ عَنْ مُشَابَةِ خَلْقِهِ. Yani He is to be declared free from any resemblance to anything in His creation. And then He closes this point with a point that requires some more discussion, but he just mentioned in brief, we're going to leave it in brief for now, that he says that he doesn't resemble anything in his creation. We declare him to be free of anything, any resemblance to anything in creation. He said, وَإِنْ كَانَ لَهُ أَسْمَاءٌ وَصِفَاتٌ تَشْتَرِكُ مَا أَسْمَاءَ وَصِفَاتِ الْخَلْقِ فِي اللَّفْظِ وَالْمَعْنَى وَلَكِنْ فِي الْحَقِيقَةِ وَالْكَيْفِيَةِ لَا تَشَابُهُ بَيْنَهُمَا. He said that there's no resemblance between Allah and anything in the creation. Even though, وَإِنْ كَانَ لَهُ أَسْمَاءُ وَصِفَاتٌ, even though He has names and He has characteristics or qualities that are shared with the names and qualities or descriptions of the created beings. Yani some of the names of Allah, things in the creation are called by those names. Some of the descriptions of Allah, things in the creation are described with those descriptions. He said, even though there's some, yani ishtirak, between the names of Allah and the sifat of Allah and the names and sifat of the creation, fil lafz wal ma'na, yani the wording, the expression that used may be shared. Even the meaning may be shared. Yani Allah is al-alim, and the human being is alim. And the meaning of alim is shared. However, he said, but, lakin fil haqiqa wal kayfiyya la tashabu baynahuma. But in reality, in the real nature of the meaning of these names or characteristics, there's no comparison, no similarity, no resemblance between Allah, His names and His qualities, and the names of the human beings and their qualities. So this is a point that the Shaykh doesn't explain in detail, but what's the summary of what he's saying here is, overall we are saying there's no resemblance between Allah and anything in the creation. Even though names of Allah, the same wording might be used for names of the people. And descriptions of Allah, same descriptions might be used for the created beings. And they share the same expression and even the meaning is shared. But the reality of it is not the same. The knowledge of Allah is not like the knowledge of the human beings. And we're going to look at that right now, and a statement concerning that in the commentary of Al-Imam Muhammad Nasruddin Al-Albani. He says concerning this point, لا يشبه الأنام, he said, فيه رد لقول المشبهة الذين يشبهون الخالق بالمخلوق سبحانه وتعالى. He said, this statement from Al-Imam al-Tahawi is a refutation against the people who make resemblance or similarities between Allah and the creation. And those who compare the Creator with the creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال عز وجل, ليس كمثله شيء وهو السميع البصير. Allah, the Mighty and the Majestic, He said, there's nothing like Him. Negation, an affirmation that He is the all-hearing and the all-seeing. Surah Ash-Shura, 42nd Surah, 11th Ayah. Shaykh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, he says, وَلَيْسَ مُرَادْ نَفِيَ الصِّفَاتِ. This ayat, what is intended by it is not to negate the sifat of Allah that he has described himself with, or that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have described him with. It's not the negation of the sifat. كَمَا يَقُولُ أَهْلُ بِدَعَ, as the people of innovation say. That's not what is intended. And then he quotes from Al-Imam Abu Hanifa, from a book that is attributed to him, Fiqh Al-Akbar. Even though the isnad is not confirmed, but that book is widespread in the world amongst the Hanafi people, and nobody denies it. That is attributed to Imam Abu Hanifa. He says, Rahimahullah al-Imam Abu Hanifa, to refute the people of deviation who claim to be Hanafi, but they don't follow Imam Abu Hanifa. He says, from his kalam, from the speech of Imam Abu Hanifa, Rahimahullah, in his book, Al-Fiqh Al-Akbar, on page 13, with the explanation of Al-Alama Ali Qari, he said, Imam Abu Hanifa said, لا يشبه, يعني Allah لا يشبه شيئا من خلقه. لا يشبه شيئا من خلقه. Allah doesn't resemble anything of His creation. ولا يشبهه شيئا من خلقه. And nothing of the creation resembles Him. Allah doesn't resemble anything in His creation, and nothing in His creation resembles Him. This is the statement of Al-Imam Abu Hanifa. To show that what? There's no resemblance between Allah, the Creator, and the creation. ثُمَّ قَالَ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ. And then he said further on page 28, Imam Abu Hanifa said, وَصِفَاتُهُ كُلُّهَا خِلَاف صِفَات الْمَخْلُوقِينَ. And the sifat, the qualities and characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of them are different than the sifat of the created beings. All of them are different than the sifat of the created beings. Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, says, يَعْلَمُ لَا كَعْلْمِنَا. Allah, He knows, but it's not like our knowledge. Allah's knowledge is like our knowledge. وَيَقْدِرُ لَا كَقُدْرَتِنَا. And He has power and ability, but not like, yani the defective, imperfect power and ability of the created beings. وَيَرَى لَا كَرُؤْيَتِنَا. كَرُؤْيَتِنَا. And He sees, but not like our seeing. So here Al-Imam Abu Hanifa is saying clearly that no resemblance between Allah and anything in the creation, yani that this is not negation of Allah's sifat, but it's negating any resemblance or comparison or equality between the characteristics of Allah and the characteristics of the created beings. After this, Al-Imam At-Tahawi, he says, that there's no resemblance between him and anything in the creation, he says, Hayyun la yamut. Qayyumun la yanam. Sheikh Salih Fawzan, he has numbered this statement as two statements, 11 and 12. In the original book, it's one statement. And these two statements are one. And they are the 10th statement in the original book. Sheikh Salih Fawzan has numbered them separately as two different matters, and he comments on them separately. So they are numbered 11 and 12 in the Arabic explanation of Sheikh Salih Fawzan. Hayyun la yamut, that's one statement. And Qayyumun la yanam is the second part of it. He has separated them. And we're going to discuss them separately. So Hayyun la yamut, yani this is a description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has affirmation and negation, so that the meaning is crystal clear. And you can't escape from what is intended here. Hayyun la yamut. He says, Hayatuhu kamilatun, la ya'tariha naqsun wala nawmun. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His life is perfect. His life is perfect. And there's no shortcoming, deficiency or defect that will ever occur to His life. And He doesn't sleep. Yani here, He's saying what? That His life is perfect and there's no defect in it. So he will not die. And He's also adding to that, and He doesn't sleep. And this is based on the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 255th ayat, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum, la ta'akhuduhu sinatun wal-anawm. Yani Allah, there's nothing that deserves to be worshipped besides Him. He is al-hayy, the one who has perfect life, and al-qayyum, the one who is self-subsisting. Yani the one who sustains himself and everything else. And slumber, yani a light sleep, nor naum, a deep sleep, overcomes him. Yani meaning that his life and his existence is free of any kind of defect, even yani sleeping and slumber. And then he mentions also from Surah Al-Furqan, 25th Surah, 58th Ayah, وَتَوَكُّلْ عَلَى الْحَيَّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ. We mentioned this before. Put your trust and depend upon the one whose life is perfect, the one who will not die. So the Shaykh, he says, فَنَفَى عَنْ نَفْسِهِ السِّنَةِ وَهِيَ النَّوْمَ الْخَفِيفِ وَالنَّوْمَ الْمُسْتَغْرِقِ. Yani, so he has negated from himself, yani, sina, yani that is a light sleep, and he has also negated from himself heavy sleep. وَنَفَى عَنْ نَفْسِهِ الْمَوْتِ. And he has also negated from himself death. لِكَمَالِ حَيَاتِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ. And he has negated these things from himself due to the perfection of his life. It's free of any kind of defect. وَالنَّوْمُ وَالنِّعَاسُ وَالْمَوْتُ نَقْصٌ فِي الْحَيَاتِ. So in life overall as a whole, sleeping and slumber and death, all of these are considered to be a defect in life. This is a defect in life. So perfect life is without these things. Perfect life is without these things. وَهَذِهِ مِنْ صِفَةِ الْمَخْلُوقِ. These descriptions of sleeping and slumber and death, these are from the characteristics of the created beings. These are from the characteristics of the created beings. وَحَيَاتُ الْمَخْلُوقِ نَاقِسَةً فَهُوَ يَنَامُ وَيَمُوتُ. So the life of the created beings is defective. And therefore he sleeps. And he has a need to sleep. And he also will die. Perfect life is free of these defects. This is, yani this, the life that, yani is affected by sleep and death, yani is a defective type of life, even though, yani it's the life that the human being, yani the created beings have. The Shaykh goes on to say, وَالنَّوْمْ كَمَالٌ فِي حَقِّ الْمَخْلُوقِ وَنَقْصٌ فِي حَقِّ الْخَالِقِ. Even though sleeping is considered to be, yani a defect to perfect life, but for the human being, this means that, yani, he's healthy. The human being that sleeps. In reference to the human being, this is good that he sleeps. Because he doesn't need to, because he's defective. But in reference to Allah, this is considered to be a defect. Yani, النوم كمال في حق المخلوق وَنَقْصٌ فِي حَقِّ الْخَالِقِ. So in reference to the human beings, naum is good. Sleeping is good because the human being is defective, needs sleep. And you know what happens if you don't sleep, right? For a day or two or three, if you last that long, you become, you know your defect now. You start to act stupid and do dumb stuff. Because human being needs sleep. All that? Oh, fall out. Alhamdulillah. In reference to Allah, this is yani considered to be a defect. لِأَنَّ الْمَخْلُوقَ الَّذِي لَا يَنَامُ مُؤَتَّلُّ السِّحَّةِ. Because the human being or the created being that doesn't sleep, this is considered to be a defect in that person's health. It means that they're not healthy. فَهَذَا يَدُلُّ عَلَى الْفَرْقِ بَيْنَ صِفَاتِ الْخَالِقِ وَصِفَاتِ الْمَخْلُوقِ. And this indicates or points to the difference between the characteristics and qualities of the Creator and the characteristics and qualities of the created beings. This is an example of the difference between the sifat of the Creator and the sifat of the created beings. He says, وَالْحَيِّ وَالْقَيُّومُ هَاتَانِ أَسِفَتَانِ مَأْخُوذَتَانِ مِنْ قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْحَيُّ الْقَيُّومُ. Yani that life, this perfect life and this perfect existence, these are two sifat, two qualities or characteristics that are derived from the saying of Allah, yani the meaning of which is Allah, there is nothing that deserves worship except Him. He is Al-Hayy and He is Al-Qayyum. Then he says, in closing this point and then going on to Qayyum, because he separated to a separate point, he said, Al-Hayy alladhi lahu al-hayat al-kamila. Yani Allah is Al-Hayy, the one who has complete and perfect life that doesn't have any defect in it. والقيوم صفة مبالغة. And as far as القيوم, so this is a يعني صفة مبالغة, it means that this is صيغة مبالغة. It is a form in the Arabic language that expresses intensity. It expresses intensity, that something is intense. نعم. Finally, the Shaykh says, and this was part of يعني the 10th statement, القيوم هو القائم بنفسه المقيم لغيره. يعني القيوم, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, القيوم, He said it has two aspects. He is القائم بنفسه, the one who sustains himself. يعني he is self-sustaining. والمقيم لغيره, and he is the one who sustains other than him. يعني everything else in the creation. القائم بنفسه, yani Allah is the one who sustains himself. فَلَا يَحْتَاجُ إِلَى شَيْءٍ. So he doesn't have need of anything. وَغَنِيٌ عَنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. And he is free of need of everything. And he is free of need of everything. وَالْمُقِيمْ لِغَيْرِهِ. The one who sustains and supports other than him. كُلُّ شَيْءٍ فَقِيرٌ إِلَيْهِ. So everything is in need of him. يَحْتَاجِ إِلَى إِقَامَتِهِ لَهُ. يَحْتَاجْ إِلَىٰ إِقَامَتِهِ لَهُ. So everything in existence needs Allah to support it, to sustain it, to provide for it. وَلَوْلَا إِقَامَةِ اللَّهِ لِلسَّمَوَاتِ. If it was not for the fact of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sustaining and supporting the heavens and the earth and everything in existence, then it would all have been destroyed. It would all have been destroyed and would cease to exist. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يُقِيمُهَا وَيَحْفَظُهَا وَيُمِدُّهَا بِمَا يَصْلَحُهَا. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who sustains it, and He protects and preserves it, and He's the one who provides for it with that which is, yani, which will take care of it, what it is in need of. And then the Shaykh closes by saying, فَجِمِيَ الْخَلْقِ في حاجة إليه. Everything in the creation is in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he mentions from Surah Al-Fatir, 35th Surah, 41st Ayat, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُمْسِكُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَن تَزُولَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who holds up, yani who supports and sustains the heavens and the earth so that it will not cease to exist, so that it will not go out of its orbit. So they will not be out of their place. that He has placed them in. Allah is the one who supports them and holds them up. وَلَئِنْ زَالَتَا إِنْ أَمْسَكَهُمَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ. And if they were to go out of their orbit or to go out of their place, to fall from their positions, then there is absolutely no one after Allah who can sustain them, who can uphold them. So we still have a few minutes remaining, 5 minutes to the hour. So we're going to go back a little bit, to the point that I mentioned earlier, which is point number 7. وَلَا يَكُونُ إِلَّا مَا يُرِيدُ وَلَا يَكُونُ إِلَّا مَا يُرِيدُ. That nothing will occur and nothing will exist except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. So Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he mentions in Majmu' al-Fatawa wa Rasail, the first volume, under the chapter of Bab al-Asma wa sifat. Under the chapter of Bab Asma wa sifat, he says, Al-Irada tanqasim ila qismain. And the will of Allah, Al-Irada, is divided into two divisions. Al-Qism al-Awwal, Irada qawniya. The first division is Irada qawniya, and the universal will. And I want to say it's sometimes referred to as Irada qadariya, because it's what Allah has decreed. That's the first division. The second division, Irada shara'iyya. Irada shara'iyya means the legislated or legal will of Allah. Yani what Allah legislates, that which He commands us to do, what He orders us and commands us to do in the sharia, in the revelation, in the Quran and in the sunnah. Also referred to as Irada diniyya. And it refers to the religious aspect of life, as opposed to just things in the world. And what Allah decrees. Al-Irada Qawniya is what Allah decrees, His universal will. Irada Shara'iyya is what Allah legislated, what He ordered and commanded us to do in the Sharia. فَمَا كَانَ بِمَعْنَى الْمَشِيَّةِ فَهُوَ إِرَادَ قَوْنِيَّةِ. Yani whatever has the meaning of Mashiyah. Yani Mashiyah meaning here, whatever Allah wills will be. And whatever He doesn't will not be. That's what He means by Al-Mashiyah. That meaning, it means whatever Allah decrees is going to happen. And whatever He doesn't decree is not going to happen. He said, whatever has that meaning, then this is Irada Qawniya. This is what is intended by Irada Qawniya. Yani Al-Mashi'ah. وَمَا كَانَ بِمَعْنَى الْمَحَبَّةِ فَهُوَ إِرَادَ شَرْعِيَّةِ. And whatever has the meaning of Al-Mahabba, love, what Allah loves and what Allah is pleased with, then this is what is intended by Al-Irada Al-Shara'iyya. If that's understood, then that's sufficient. That a person knows that when we talk about the irada of Allah, if it's what Allah decreed to happen, that must happen, that's irada kawniya. If it's what Allah loves and is pleased with, whether it happens or doesn't happen, that's what we mean by irada shara'iyya. Okay, the Shaykh gives two examples. We'll just go through them quickly. The first example he gives, al-irada shara'iyya, is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَاللَّهُ يُرِيدُ أَيَّتُوبَ عَلَيْكُمْ. That Allah yuridu, yani irada. Allah wants, He wills to turn to you in repentance, to accept your repentance. Allah wants to accept your repentance. The reason why He's saying this is irada shar'iyya, لِأَنَّ يُرِيدُ هُنَا بِمَانَ يُحِبُّ. What is meant by وَاللَّهُ يُرِيدُ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ. What is intended? Allah loves to accept your repentance, to turn to you and accept your repentance. He said, this could not be the meaning of Al-Mashiyah, yani what Allah decreed to happen. Because if Allah had decreed it to happen, then Allah would accept the repentance from everybody. Everybody would have repented, and Allah would have accepted their repentance. He said this would mean, yani, that Allah wills, yani, to, yani, that you repent and He accept it. In that case, He would have accepted the repentance of everyone in the creation. And this, yani, is not, yani, a reality. This is not going to happen. Because most of the human beings are disbelievers. And they die upon kufr and shirk, and Allah is not, they are not going to repent, and Allah is not going to accept their repentance. So the meaning of yuridu Allah yatuba alayk, yuridu an yatuba alaykum, yani, yuridu, meaning here, yuhibbu an yatuba alaykum. Allah loves to accept your repentance. He said, and it is not a necessity that the love of Allah, Mahabbatullah, لِشَيْءٍ أَنْ يَقَى يعني مِنْ مَحَبَّةِ اللَّهِ لِشَيْءٍ أَنْ يَقَى. It is not a necessity that because Allah loves something that it has to occur. And that's because الْحِكْمَةُ الْإِلَهِيَّ الْبَالِغَةُ قَدْ تَقْتَدِي عَدَمْ وَقُوِهِ. Because Allah's far-reaching divine wisdom might necessitate that that thing don't occur. So even though Allah loves it, it may not occur. And this is the point that irada shara'iyya is only includes what Allah loves and is pleased with. But it may happen or it may not happen. And the opposite, irada qawniyya, yani it includes what Allah loves and it also includes what Allah doesn't love. But it must happen because Allah has decreed it to happen. Second example, the example of irada qawniyya, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنْ كَانَ اللَّهُ يُرِيدُ أَن يُغْوِيَكُمْ يعني from Surah Al-Hud, 11th Surah, 34th Ayah, that you will not benefit from my advising you if I wanted to advise you, if Allah يُرِيدُ أَن يُغْوِيَكُمْ. If Allah wills to lead you astray, then whatever my advice, my desire to advise you is not going to benefit you. يُرِيدُ here, if Allah intends to lead you astray, doesn't mean that Allah loves to lead anybody astray. It means Allah may have decreed it for wisdom. Allah decreed it. So this is yani the irada qawniyya or qadariyya. That is because Allah does not love to lead His worshippers astray. So therefore, it's not correct to say that the meaning here is that Allah loves to lead people astray. Rather, the meaning here is that Allah yasha'u. Yani it is the mashiyah of Allah. Yani Allah decreed it. Yani that some people will be led astray for wisdom that yani He knows it's objective. This is the end of our time. Even though the Shaykh has a little further explanation, perhaps I can just read it without it's hard for me sometimes to translate without reading the Arabic, but in any case, basically what he's saying here, there still remains a question. What is the difference between irada qawniyya and irada shara'iyya from the perspective of whether or not it occurs or not? So we say that the qawniyya, it must occur. Yani what Allah intends. If Allah intends something, yani His irada qawniyya, then it must occur, it must happen. That's what He decreed. And this comes under the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَيَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. And if Allah intends something, irada, qawniyya, qadariyya, then He only says to it be and it is. As far as al-irada shara'iyya, so what He intends, what He wills in His irada shara'iyya, it may occur or it may not occur. Yani Allah might legislate something. Yani yuriduhu fi, yani His irada shara'iyya, He might legislate something and He loves it and He's pleased with it, but it may not occur. And that's because what Allah loves and what Allah wills in His irada, shara'iyya, it may occur, it may not occur. And that's the difference between irada, shara'iyya and qadariyya. Yani irada qawniyya must occur, irada, shara'iyya may or may not occur. Allah loves it, Allah is pleased with it. People may do it, they may not. Some people will pray and other people won't. Naam. And he closes by saying that if a person were to ask, does Allah will sin, al-ma'asi. Does Allah will sin? So we say, Allah wills it in His irada qawniyya, not in His irada shara'iyya. He doesn't love it. And this is because irada shara'iyya means al-mahabba, means what Allah loves. And Allah doesn't love sin. However, He wants it and He wills it in His irada qawniyya, yani in His mashia. And that is because everything in the heavens and the earth, any that exists or occurs is by the mashiyah of Allah. And this is the end of what we wanted to say. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grant us success in doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone. And that we do it in accordance with the authentic sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that Allah, out of His kindness and His generosity and His mercy, that He recognize, record and reward our good deeds, and that He pardon, forgive, and overlook our mistakes and errors, and that He grant us al-thabat, that He grant us al-thabat, to be firm upon as-sirat al-mustaqim, until we return to Him, in a condition in which we are pleased with Him and pleasing to Him. And we ask Allah to grant recovery to those amongst us who are sick, and to shower the graves of those who have passed away with His mercy, and to fill them with light, and to make them spacious, and to admit them into His paradise, and to save them from the punishment of the hellfire and the punishment of the grave. And we ask Allah to grant relief to the Muslims, men, women, and children in Palestine and wherever they may be, and from the murder and the slaughter and the oppression of the enemies of Allah and the enemies of Islam. May Allah grant them relief that only can come from Him. May He protect them from before them and behind them, from the right and from the left, from above them and below them. And may He grant victory, grant them victory over the enemies. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh yeah. If anybody has a question or any comment or correction, inshallah, we're going to break up now for those who have to leave. And those who are able to stay, inshallah, will have some discussion, informal, and some refreshments, inshallah, for a little while, 15, 20 minutes, for as long as you can stay. Everybody is welcome. Barakallahu feekum.